get started. And basically what I'd like to share with you are the methods we've used with the state of South Dakota to engage stakeholders necessary for PAMFLU planning at the local level and issues that advance that planning, and the unique roles involved in the planning with both the Office of Emergency Management and the Health Department there. And I'd like to introduce our partners, and I wish that my friends from South Dakota could be here today, but they couldn't. I, like you said, I'm with the USA Center for Rural Public Health Preparedness at Texas A&M, and we're one of the 27 Centers for Public Health Preparedness, and we are tasked with providing training activities and support to state, local, and regional health departments across the country. And we work with South Dakota because we do share a lot of similarities in the rural aspect of our states, and that's how we ended up working with them. We served on a rural public health interest group with them, and we've been lucky enough to continue a partnership with them over the past 3 years. In July 2006, Governor Mike Rounds in South Dakota, they received federal grant for pandemic influenza planning. It was about $600,000, and they wanted to stop, slow, or otherwise limit the spread of pan flu in South Dakota, limit the spread of pandemic, minimizing disease, suffering, death within the community, and sustain community infrastructure. Per Health and Human Services, it's been mandated that this needs to be at the local level, and that's why these grants were provided at the local level, because it's going to be a community response. We can't depend on the federal government or the state government. It needs to come from within. Traditionally, this is what was different with pandemic influenza planning, is with the Office of Emergency Management, they always take the role in emergency response. However, with the PAMFLU response, the Department of Health will need to take the role. And so this was a unique challenge for the state because we needed to figure out how we were going to train responders to have this joint response. So the way their plan is set up, there's six components, and like I said, normally Office of Emergency Management, they would take the role. However, with the components of the plan, either the Department of Health takes the role or there's a joint effort. And I'll just run through those components real quickly and give you examples of who takes the lead on that. Command and control, again, is both Department of Health and Office of Emergency Management. Lab and surveillance is obviously going to be Department of Health only. They're strictly the lead on that. Vaccine and antiviral delivery, that's Department of Health as well. Disease containment, that's both Department of Health and Office of Emergency Management. Healthcare planning, again, is Department of Health. And workforce support, again, is both agencies. One remaining component is education and communication, but that's left up to everyone. So due to the nature of a pandemic, planning and response approach is different compared, again, to the traditional emergency response. We need to involve it's going to be every level of the nation, but like I said, it needs to start at the bottom with the communities and work its way up. It's critical that we start with the community, and that's what we really wanted to stress. And so what we needed to do was figure out how to engage the community in this planning process. And again, with the states being so rural, there's a lot of unique challenges that they face that a lot of the urban areas don't. So it was difficult to find the stakeholders that we needed. A lot of times they wear multiple hats, and so we couldn't have everyone there at the planning table that we did need. There's a lot of isolation. They have very limited resources. So it's very important that we had as many involved as we could. And I'll talk about our methods of how we engage them in a couple of slides. Again, like I said, there was about $600,000 in funding, and this is for phase one. And again, it was going to be for local level funding. And they had cooperative applications, and they were asked to partner with surrounding communities or areas. And the ones that did partner, they received special consideration in the funding. For example, with some of the applicants that were funded, there were a lot of counties by themselves, county emergency management, healthcare systems, hospitals, and there were some that actually did partner with the tribes as well, because there is a tribal population in South Dakota that needs to be addressed as well. And the intent intent of this phase one funding, since the resources were limited, it was for these applicants for phase one to meet the community needs and then to be used as models, which I'll talk about how that did work out really well for them. And this is where we came in. And South Dakota handled all the funding and the proposal and development, and then also chose the grantees. And once they did that, we were asked to come in and provide some basic training on pandemic influenza. And this is a lesson learned on our part, as they were funded, like I said, in July. However, we did not go until October to do the training. And so there were a lot of different levels of knowledge on pamphlet planning. And then not only that, some of the groups were a lot further ahead in the process than some of the others. So that was a challenge we had going in and doing that. But what we did do is we went to four different locations throughout the state, and we provided a didactic training session. And in that session, we talked about basic pan flu and then an update of where we were right now in the pan flu phases. And we also talked about the elements of a response plan and how to write one and how to get your community involved. And we did a community needs assessment as well. And this is the part that was unique, that worked out really well, that we were so pleased with, is in some states I found that it's hard to get a lot of collaboration between different entities. We were able to work with both the Department of Health and with Office of Emergency Management to provide these presentations. And it really showed the community that there needs to be an integrated response. And we were so fortunate to be able to have all of them come to each location and do that. And so the presentation was given jointly with the Office of Emergency Management Director. And then we had several representatives from the Department of Health. And then we also subcontracted with the National Emergency Rescue and Response Training Center, which is also based out of Texas A&M. And they provide expertise in emergency response. And then we ended up with a rural preparedness roundtable. And this is something we've done. We started out doing rural health roundtables around the state of Texas on public health issues such as HIV and AIDS is one of the main ones we did. And we've adapted these to rural preparedness roundtables, so we focus on preparedness issues. And basically, it's a way to get stakeholders and community members together to come and talk about their best practices, lessons learned, strengths and assets, and issues and concerns. And we always get really great high marks on this evaluation part. People really like this. They're able to learn from each other. They meet people they've never met before. They can put faces with each other. So they know if there is an actual response that they need to come together, they know who they can go to and help and who has the resources and who doesn't. So this is a great way to do it. And I can't stress enough how fortunate we were to have the Office of Emergency Management and Department of Health work together with this on this one. And we finished up with the phase one grantees, and like I said, our lesson learned on this one was we came in too late. And so this year, we've actually already met with our phase two grantees. We went in July, and it worked out really well because we actually invited some of the phase one grantees that had completed their plans, had really good, strong plans, and they were able to come, and they spoke to the phase two grantees and talked about some of the things they had done that worked really well, and what they would recommend, what they would not recommend. And so they actually became part of our training session. We delivered the same training that we did before with the needs assessment, the pan flu update, and how the emergency management and Department of Health worked together along with the phase one grantees. And then they also participated in the roundtable, and again, it gave them more of an opportunity to work face-to-face and work together on doing that. And our next steps, this year, we're going to do actual exercises with the phase one and phase two grantees. So we're hoping to keep this collaboration with South Dakota. It's worked out really well. And again, I would just like to thank, they're not here, but I want to thank him anyway, the director of the Office of Public Health Preparedness in South Dakota, and then their hospital VT preparedness coordinator, and especially Christy Terman. She's been wonderful to work with the Office of